Morning.
Just some things in life that remind you of other things. Growing up in East Tennessee, when the weather starts to get a little cool, we know high school football is getting ready to start on Friday nights and college football on Saturday. We talk about, well, football on Sunday. Well, I'd still rather watch high school and college football any day. And then when I hear the song, Count Your Many Blessings, I can't help but to count blessings. And looking down at my giving envelope, and I thought, man, my blessings far exceed what the Lord asks of me. Amen? He only asked for 10%. Those blessings far exceed what the Lord has done. So count your many blessings. I trust you'll think about that. Count your blessings as we take up our tithes and offerings this morning. God is so good to us, and we are so truly blessed. Brother Dave, we ask God's blessings on our giving.
Heavenly Father, I just feel that if we were to take turns and count all of our blessings, we would all be here until sunrise tomorrow morning. And Father, you are just more good to us than what we deserve. And Father, I just pray now that you would bless this time of worship as we give back a portion of what you have given us. And Father, just always keep this church a light in this community. And Lord, I just pray that if there would be anybody here that does not know Jesus as Savior, Father, that they would come to know him today. I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We prepare to go before the Lord this morning. Please ask, if you would, the Lord to help me this morning, as I always ask you to. And, of course, also pray for our ministries here, our young people in the back, and those of men are providing security in the parking lot, and those in the nursery, all the things that take place behind the scene that we might have that time of worship, fellowship here, and be safe and secure while we do it. Let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on the remainder of our service. Father, we approach thy throne this morning. We come with great anticipation because you are God and you can do anything. And we ask, Lord, that you work in your midst of your people this morning as only you can do. Help us to put away the cares and concerns of the world this morning and maybe anything that ails us or have on our mind that we could just put it aside just for the remainder of our service today, that we might solely concentrate on what's left of the service through the special music and the preaching of thy word, that, Lord, that you would be uplifted and glorified in our hearts and our minds, that we'd be challenged and encouraged from your word. Father, I pray and praise you and thank you for the men of Harvest and the men that are here gathered with us this morning. Father, would you put a hedge about them and protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, bless those that cannot be with us this morning because they're traveling or working, that you bless and protect them and meet their needs. Father, I pray that you'd help them to be the godly examples at home, at work, in their community, and here at church. Father, we thank you for our ladies of Harvest and their desire and willingness to serve. Lord, we are so blessed of the men and women that we have in our church willing to serve in so many different capacities, many wear different hats, with a desire, Lord, not only to serve you, but to serve one another as they serve you. And we pray your blessings as well upon our ladies. Be with our children, Father, and our children's church as well as our nursery. And they may come to know Christ at a young, tender age in life, Father. They may grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and be grounded as they grow older and be prepared for the things they will face as young people, as teenagers and young adults. And then, Father, I pray that you'd help me today, that you give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech as I proclaim the word of God this morning. Help us, Lord, as we continue down our path and we're talking about the victorious Christian. But Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know, that they know, that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who may not be feeling so victorious be encouraged and reminded of who they are in Christ, that they may stand strong and to stand firm. And then, Father, I pray that you'd bless the many churches across the valley of like faith that will be having services today. Once again, I think of the memorial service that will be held in Cardinal Stadium. Father, I pray that the word of God will go forth very clear. But Lord, also those that make a decision will be challenged and encouraged to find a church that preaches the word of God without apology. Father, help us to strive to live the life of the word that we hear preached each and every service here at Harvest, and each and every day as we open our Bible and have our devotions, that we be regenerated and strengthened, that we might do the same. Father, bless us now. Once again, have your way in the service as we ask in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Made our way through 1 John chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And now we're on 5, and we'll continue with our journey, and we'll get to eventually 2 John and 3 John. But we've done a little bit of a pause and spending a little more time on verse 4 and 5 with the thought of the victorious Christian, and the victorious Christian has faith in God. So let's read verses 4 and 5 again this morning. Well, then we'll have our special music. And then you pray for Miss Cheryl as well, as I know she's been battling a little bit with her throat. And I'm so grateful for her willingness to sing for the Lord. And so let's pray for her that she had her voice holds out this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Bible's open to 1 John chapter 5 as we read our text this morning. And I think I mentioned last week giving an illustration of Dr. Lee Robertson and him always often saying, have faith in God. And share another little tidbit about Dorothy Lee Robertson. I always appreciated every Sunday morning at the end of the message, when the service is about over, he would announce the title of the service for that evening. And then challenge and encourage anyone if you can find his text. And one always stands out in my mind of the many that I heard, and the title of the message for that night was Bloody Arrows. And I spent the whole afternoon trying to find what possibly, surely it's got to be the Old Testament. And as a young freshman, looking through and trying to find where that text was, of course, I never did, but looked forward to the evening service. And very often, he would make that claim or give out the title. And very, very, very seldom did I ever find his text, as he always came up with very unique and different texts that he preached about. And it might have had something to do with my immaturity and young age as well. But needless to say, I'll have great memories of that place. And I also thought about him again this morning, as I'll tell him myself, as I got dressed a little bit, got ready to go out, and I thought to myself, man, once again, I hate to admit this, and now I hate to admit it publicly, my wife was right. I need another suit. This is getting too big on me. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll get a black double-breasted suit and a red tie and a white shirt. I may not be able to speak like Dr. Lee Robertson, but maybe I can look like him. But no, I'm about 6 inches too short for that. But we just get back to our text this morning. But we've started a series last week within our series on victory. And last week we talked about faith in God leads to a home in heaven. Faith in God leads to a relationship with God. Faith in God leads to a purpose for living. And then today we'll take three more bites and we'll look at three more topics. And this morning, first of all, faith in God leads to assurance. Boy, isn't it wonderful to know and to be assured in who you are in Christ. Or in fact, to be assured about anything in your life, to have confidence in knowing, I can just see myself running into that. Knowing what it is, and knowing what our day holds, and knowing who we're involved with in our life. See, this world today proclaims there is no absolutes, and truth is based on your opinions and not on facts. I'm so grateful to know that I have a Word of God here this morning in front of me that I can have complete confidence in and not have to speculate or wonder or make up my own truth. See, truth today is in the eye of the beholder. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Once again, it sounds like a city in the Old Testament that I mentioned last week. The consequence of this belief leads to chaos and confusion, because morals do not exist and life has little to no value, as unborn babies are continued to be killed in abortion clinics all across our country as well as the world today. Confused children and young men claim to be women. Women claim to be men, because this is what he or she believes, and society says that we have to accept it. See, the result of this type of mayhem and pressure from society is to conform and to accept a lie. But dear friends, you can debate, deny, dispute the Lord and the Bible all you want, but it does not change God's word. Because it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will not change. It will not lighten. It will only be watered down by noodleback preachers and Christians. The word of God stands for itself as long as we preach it and see it as it is. See, denial or trying to change science does not reroute biblical truth. Let me say that again. Denial or trying to change science does not reroute biblical truth. God will do what he said he would do. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, thou that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. See, faith in God is based on truth, giving us victory over doubt, confusion, and chaos. We don't have to live in this, chaotic world, but we do not have to be affected by it because we stand on truth, and we're going to stand with the Word of God because it is the light into my path. It is my guide for life. It assures us that we are right, and it provides hope. You see, faith in God makes our outlook grand, our outlook promising, our inlook assuring, and the future heavenly. And I don't know about you folks, but I feel very often that heaven cannot come soon enough. The basis of our faith gives us truths to live out our lives day by day. See, if our blueprint for living, which enables us to know that we should do what we should do or what we should not do, it's very simple. All we have to do is open and read it. All we have to do is to live by it. All we have to do is make sure we compare what is being said of the world, how it compares to Scripture. See, the truth of Scripture gives security, gives clarity, and gives wisdom. If you're seeking guidance, then go to the Word of God. You're seeking truth, then go to the Word of God. Dear friends, feed your faith and your doubt will starve to death. Here's why so many Christians have difficulties is because they're feeding the flesh instead of feeding their bodies and their minds through the Word of God. So feed your faith and let your doubts starve to death. Beloved, our outcome in life does not depend upon our income, but how you overcome. Let's allow the Word of God to help us. See, faith in God gives us victory over this world. Again, faith in God leads to a home in heaven, to a relationship with God. It leads to a purpose for living. Faith in God leads to assurance. We can have complete, total assurance of knowing God is who He said He was. He has not changed. He never will change. And just because the world changes, just because people's faith changes, just because other faiths are added, it does not mean that God changes. And the next, number two this morning, or number five on our list, faith in God leads to rest during the storms of life. Faith in God leads to rest during the storms of life. See, every person will face trials, fears, and anxiety at one time or another in their life. If you have never faced these things, I like to hang out with you a whole lot more than I do. See, I believe we are. That's just part of life. How you deal with trouble will determine how you will cope with life. With no promise of relief, many will turn to drugs and alcohol as a solution to deal with their troubles, yet they will only find their problems intensifying and becoming bigger and bigger as they turn to those things. See, choices and lifestyles create trouble, especially for those who live an ungodly life. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 57, and verse 20 and 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You ever been on a beach where you have the warning from the lifeguards that the undertow is really strong and you need to be careful about going too deep or being aware, making sure that you're a good swimmer or have some type of life preserver float with you? Dear friends, that's the way the world is today. The overtow and undertow is very strong each and every day in the world that we live in today. And we need to be on guard. We need to be prepared. And we need to realize our Savior, our lifeguard, is on duty full time. And we need to be looking to Him for guidance and direction and through His Word. We need to take advantage of what He has given us. Faith in God helps us to have victory over our trials and troubles. Faith in God helps us to see beyond our problems. Faith in God helps us to go further than we can see. Faith in God steps out into darkness, steps out into the unknown, and obeys God's commands. We have missionaries that do that every single year, and maybe several times a year, that step out by faith, going into a place they've never been before, or maybe have only been there shortly on a survey, moving their family, going to a different culture, a different place, a different country, a different language, and many times it's in a very spiritually dark place, but they go by faith. And dear friends, we need to, in this dark world that we live in, also need to step out in faith, but also make sure that those running boards that are there for us, that we lean upon them as needed. A faith in God that possesses us leads to victory. Let me say that again. A faith in God that possesses us leads us to victory. What is it in our life that possesses us, that we allow to control us, that we allow to mandate our day by day, step by step, in words that we use? Dear friends, why is it that some folks feel that their faith is strong enough to take them to heaven, but it just doesn't seem strong enough to take them to church? Can you help me understand that? Why is it that we live in a world today that people want to talk about God? They want to talk about their faith in God, their relationship with God, but you won't see them in church on Sunday. You won't see them in church on other services if they're not working or providentially hindered. Our faith is not only in God and is to be in God, but is our faith also strong enough to lead us to a relationship, to membership, to involvement, to ministry? And by the way, if God's Son gave his life to shed his precious blood and he looks at the church as his bride, do we not look to it the same way? Is it not just as important to us? See, something is wrong with this type of thinking. Faith never grows in a disobedient, rebellious heart. God wants us to live by faith and to follow him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." See, knowing that God is in control of our lives and that he is with us gives us strength and peace to go through the trials that we are facing. There is nothing that we are facing in life that is too big for us to go through without God's help. Did you ever think for a moment did it ever occur to you? I haven't said this in a long time. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows exactly what's going on. He will not put on us anything that we cannot handle, but do we look to him to help us? When Job was going through his turmoil, he kept his eyes on the Lord. He said in Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:3, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Dear friends, faith in God gives us peace and rest when life is turbulent and when death's cold fingers try to grip us in our last breath. Where is our faith? Where is our assurance? Faith in God leads and helps us and gives us rest during the storms of life. Why ever do you want to go through it alone? Why ever do we want to try to make it on our own? Or the attitude, I can do it myself, when we can rest in God during difficult times? See, the problem is we got too many Christians that forget about God until they go through a storm. Put him on a shelf, put him to the side. Remember the old children's song that we used to sing when we were kids, or at least some of us used to sing? "I wished I had a little red box to put the devil in. I could take him out and put him back again." But I didn't like the other part too much. "I wish I had a little red box, blue box, whatever it was, to put my Jesus in, to take him out and put him back again." Dear friends, we need to make sure that he's not in a box, but he's out and with us every step of the way. And we need to take him out every single day, no matter how good or how bad it is. That's called a relationship. I don't tell my sweet wife, Michelle, that I love her when I'm hungry. I don't tell her I love her when the laundry needs to be done. I don't tell her I love her when I need help finding my keys or my glasses or my hearing aids. It could take a long time if I go through this whole list. Let me get back to the sermon. I love her because I love her. She is my bride. And dear friends, in the same way, how do we love our Lord? Do we allow him to help us? Do we really have the faith in him that we say that we have? Are we allowing him to give us that assurance, but also leaning upon him every single day and not just during the storms and the difficulty of life? See, again, faith in God gives us peace and rest when life is turbulent and when death's cold fingers tries to get a grip upon us. And then lastly, this morning, number 6, faith in God leads to courage when we face fear. Faith in God leads to courage when we face fear. The old song, I believe it's an old Ron Hamilton song, "There's no need to fear when Jesus is near." Did I get that right, Brother Cherry? "There's no need to fear when Jesus is near." Faith in God helps us to be victorious by giving us courage to serve God when we are fearful or weak. Faith in God encourages us when we feel like we have failed and want to give up. Faith in God helps us to stand when we are knocked down. Faith in God gives us the words needed when we are tempted to be silent about the Lord and when we are tempted to compromise in sin. But our faith in God helps us to walk through that fire, to walk through that difficulty, to speak up when we have opportunity. Faith in God gives us victory when we don't feel victorious. Faith is remembering. Faith in God is remembering that we are indispensable to God, even though we may feel that we are in the way. Dear friends, God has a desire and willingness to use every believer. From the day that we bow our head and trust Christ as a youth or whatever age it may be, until the day we take our last breath, God has a desire to use us in some way, some form, and some fashion. So often, I think if we're not careful, we get ourselves positioned where we think, well, what is God doing to use me? How is the Lord using me? And many of us play so many different roles. We play the role of encourager. We play that role of being eternally optimistic. We play the role of, in some way, just being a helpmeet behind the scenes, just wanting to encourage others. Others that maybe take more of a lead in all the teaching and singing, special music in the choir, work in the nursery. No matter what it is, we all have a role and a place and service for our Lord. And we must remember, even when we face fear, our faith in God picks us up and encourages us to go on. Faith in God is always remembering that we are God's treasure, even when we feel worthless or unneeded. Again, faith is remembering that we are indispensable to God. Yes, not that we're that super special by any means, but God has chosen to use mankind. Yes, he could have chosen the rocks to call out, the scriptures say, but he's chosen men and women and boys and girls and young people to share the gospel and tell others and to live a life of Christ before others. God's promises of love, forgiveness, and hope should encourage us to grow and to go forward for Christ and to keep on keeping on. Faith in God enables us to focus on the Lord when we are pressured to conform and to turn our back on him. Are we pressing forward? Are we moving forward? Do we have that faith in God that gives us courage? I'll use another sports analogy. I had fortunate enough to have more time this past week on Saturday to watch delayed. I had to record it, other things going on, but I watched the beginning of the Tennessee game to the very end. And I know it wasn't much of a great game. Tennessee did well. They blew them out, but here's the point I want to make at the end of the game. The other team that they played against, the fourth quarter, just a few seconds, less than a minute left to go in the game. They were down by many, many points. There was no way they could win. Guess what? They played until the last second. They made every effort to score, to do something, to play out the whole single game. They didn't throw in the towel. They didn't give up. They didn't say, man, we're down by 40 points. There's only less than a minute left. We might as well just go ahead and go to the sidelines and let the scrubs come in. No, they played to the very end. And as believers, we need to understand and realize that we are to play, to go forward, to serve until the very end. Even during difficult times, even when we feel we're down, even though we feel that we're overwhelmed, our faith in God can encourage us to face our fear, to face the difficulties, to face the hardship, just to keep moving forward in serving the Lord. Yes, faith in God enables us to focus on the Lord when we are pressured to conform and maybe even turn back on him. Paul challenges us not to fit the mold of the world nor adopt the lifestyles of the world. He said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sounds like to me the Apostle Paul felt like we could do it. We just have to allow the Lord to work in us and to work through us. Moses kept his eyes on the Lord when he could have given up and lived a life of luxury and a life of sin. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, what about the three Hebrew boys that did not value their peers over their convictions? When threatened with death and intimidation, they held their convictions. They held forth the truth of the Word of God. These youth were determined not to give up, nor to turn their backs on God. Not just Moses as a young man who looked to God, knowing that God had called him, leaving the palace, leaving all that was available to him. And these three Hebrew boys, knowing that, even though they were in captivity, even though they were in another land, they did not forget about their God. They did not forget about their obligations, what they needed to do. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 18 through 20. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Dear friends, the world today needs Christians who live out their faith in God. Tell you what's my favorite part about that passage of scripture in Daniel. Not only did they have them to heat the furnace seven times hotter, get the strongest men that could cast him in. When the old king looked in, he thought, man, we cast in three. There's a fourth. And here's what gets me every time. It is as the image of the Son of God. Dear friends, we're never alone. No matter how hot the fire, no matter how deep the water, no matter the level of anxiety or fear or fret that comes our way, we are never alone. See, the world will pay more attention to a godly life that demonstrates their faith than a typical and weak description of it. Don't just tell me you're a Christian. Live like one. Don't just tell me you're a follower of Christ. Allow me to see you be a follower of Christ, because actions speak so much louder than words. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless as sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights of the world. Dear friends, we are to shine for Christ. Yes, faith in God will lead to courage in the face of fear, in the face of danger. Faith in God will help us through our most difficult and trying times. James said in chapter 1 and verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Joshua said, make up your mind about who you are able or who you are going to serve. James says, don't be double-minded. Joshua says, hey, make up your mind. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It didn't matter what was coming his way. It didn't matter how easy it was, how hard it was, or how difficult it was. Yes, it's easy to say I'm a believer. It's easy to get excited when things are going your way. But what about when things are hard? What about when things are difficult? What about when the fire gets really hot and the water is rising, or whatever the case may be? Are we still looking to him? Even in fear, do we still have faith in God? Joshua says in Joshua 24, in verse 14 and 15, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of your fathers that they served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But hey, guys, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to make up our mind collectively and individually that we are going to serve the Lord, because it doesn't matter what kind of fear I face. It doesn't matter the difficulties I have, because I have genuine, real faith in God. Dear friends, if you claim to be a Christian, then live like one. If you claim to be a Christian, let it be known that others may recognize, not that you just say you're a Christian, but is seen in your life. Joshua was determined when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Dear friends, this should be our motto. We will serve the Lord. Much of Christianity in America is characterized by worldliness, wastefulness, and worry. Why? Because too many fathers, too many Christians, have not made a determined decision that them and their family, them through themselves, will serve the Lord. See, it doesn't matter if my family joins me in serving the Lord, I'm still going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what others are doing, I'm still going to serve the Lord. And we need to make that determined decision to do that. It's been said, you will invest your life in something or throw it away on nothing. How is your life being spent? How is our life being used? How is it today? Are we celebrating the fact and knowing in our life that we have faith in God? Yes, it leads to a home in heaven, a relationship with God. It leads to a purpose for living. It leads to assurance. And yes, faith in God leads to rest during the storms of life. But faith in God also leads and provides courage as we face fear. How are we doing today? How victorious are we in our Christian walk? Is there room for improvement? Are we living it loud enough, consistently enough, that is recognized and seen by others that we are distinctly different? Let's stand together for prayer this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a few moments as we prepare to start our invitation. But I want to encourage you and remind you, as I asked a question, do you have faith in God? Is it seen? Is it recognized? Or has it just been wasted? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Father, help us as Christians to have faith in God in all circumstances, in all situations, not just when things are going well, but also when things are difficult. Help us to be recognized and seen by our neighbors, our colleagues, those that meet us and see us in the streets and in the stores. Let it be recognized and known that they not only hear us say we're going to church, hear us say we are a follower of Christ, but they see us actually carrying out the actions of it. And then, Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that's struggling with their faith, that is maybe away from the Lord and not where they should be in their walk, that they would make some decisions today to increase their faith and lean upon you in the difficult times. And then, Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't have the assurance of knowing without any reservations that they're saved, may today be their day of salvation. Father, work in the midst of your people today in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed just for a few more moments. Our pianist is playing. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, why not respond? Why not do what the Lord would have you to do? Christian, are you struggling and maybe need to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to be more consistent. Help me to live a victorious Christian life. Help me to live the life that you've called me when you saved me. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure. You don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Why not come today and let us help you and show you from the Word of God of what you need to do to become a believer, to become a child of God. Some have come to pray and others may need to. But why put off until tomorrow what you can take care of today? We allow the Lord to work. Christians are praying. How is your faith in God? Does it demonstrate a victorious Christian? Is it something you live or something you just talk about when it's convenient? Have faith in God. Do we have faith enough to obey Him? Faith enough to follow Him and that which He asks us to do? Faith enough to be obedient when He tells us things need to change? All right, I'm going to make my way to the back and greet folks as they come out. Brother Tony, would you lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer?